At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Welcome to The Deep Dive. Today, we're really plunging headfirst into what looks like an incredibly eventful day for AI, August 14th, 2025. The pace of innovation, the shifts we're seeing, it's pretty wild. From tech giants making surprising moves to, you know, complex global stuff and how it's hitting society.
Absolutely. And our goal here really is to sift through all this information, pull out the key insights for you. We want to connect those dots, help you see not just what's happening, but why it matters, what it means for you, for the world, and the sheer speed of it all packed into just one day. It's quite something.
Okay, so let's kick things off with Apple. Usually we think sleek phones, watches, right? But it looks like they're making a quiet but, well, pretty significant move into AI in the home. What's really standing out there?
Well, what's fascinating, I think, is how many angles are coming from. It's quite multi-pronged. We're seeing these plans, for instance, for a tabletop robot. It's got a screen, a motorized limb, and it's planned to have its own, quote, personality. Runs a new OS called Charismatic.
Personality. Okay, that immediately makes you wonder, what does that actually mean for, you know, a home gadget?
Exactly. That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? What is AI personality in this context?
Yeah.
And it's not just the robot. They're thinking bigger picture.
Right. Apple always does the ecosystem thing. So what else fits into this smart home vision?
Well, alongside the robot, there's talk of a battery-powered home security camera. Codename is J450, apparently. It's designed with facial recognition, infrared sensors, you know, for security, but also automating other connected devices. And then there's a simpler smart display, too, like a 7-inch square screen, widget-focused.
Yeah.
It apparently scans faces as you approach to show personalized stuff.
Okay. So, yeah, not just gadgets, then. What's the underlying strategy here? What's the bigger play for Apple?
I think if you connect these dots, it really signals Apple's strategic push towards ambient computing, trying to embed AI really deeply into your everyday environment. So it's less about any single product and much more about creating this integrated intelligent home ecosystem that just adapts to you.
Okay, that makes sense. Now, speaking of user experience, this is where things got really interesting, maybe even a bit messy. There was quite a bit of noise. Some reports even used the word anger around OpenAI's GPT-5 launch. What exactly caused that reaction, and how's OpenAI handling it?
Yeah, the sources point to a pretty significant course correction, actually. After a, let's say, rocky rollout and clear user dissatisfaction, Sam Altman, the CEO, he announced several changes. For one, the popular Foro model is coming back to the model picker for all paid users. And they promised plenty of notice if it ever goes away again.
Okay, so bringing back the familiar face, so to speak, what else?
Crucially, the weekly rate limits for advanced reasoning in GPT-5, they jumped massively, from 200 queries up to 3,000. And they also clarified that huge 196K context window for the new model. Plus, users got new options, auto, fast, or thinking for GPT-5. This was to fix problems where queries were, like, often going to the wrong model right after launch.
So what does all this really tell us about the user experience side? It sounds like OpenAI maybe realized that it's not just about raw power. The feel of the model, its personality maybe, is really vital for some users.
Precisely. I think that Foro saga, as some called it, really highlighted that there's a maybe larger than expected group of users who care more about that personality aspect than just, you know, pure coding performance or benchmark scores.
Yeah.
Altman himself even hinted a personality update is coming for GPT-5. He mentioned the need for per-user customization and model personality.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's a huge learning point, I think, for all AI developers.
UX.
Adaptability. They're just as critical as the underlying tech specs.
Right. And these products, these models, they don't build themselves. It takes talent. And moving from products to people, it sounds like Microsoft is really going on the offensive to get that talent. Who are they after and how are they doing it?
Yeah, there's a Business Insider report suggesting a very aggressive strategy. Microsoft is apparently targeting Meta's AI talent pretty hard. Specifically, researchers outside of Meta's main new superintelligence labs division. They're reportedly matching Meta's pay, sometimes with multi-million dollar offers, using special recruiting teams with, like, actual target lists.
Wow, specific teams mentioned.
Uh-huh. teams like Reality Labs, GenAI Infra, Meta AI Research. The report says Mustafa Suleiman and Jay Parikh, who used to be at Meta, are leading some of these efforts.
And you mentioned aggressive tactics. The report also said something about new processes, streamlined offers.
That's right. New processes for what they call critical AI talent can apparently get offers approved by higher-ups within 24 hours, which is incredibly fast. So if you zoom out, it looks like Microsoft is kind of borrowing from Meta's own playbook for poaching talent, maybe turning up the heat. And there are also hints, the report suggests, of potential culture issues within Meta's AI units, making some people outside that main superintelligence lab maybe more open to leaving. So it's not just about the money.
Fascinating dynamics in the talent wars. Okay, let's shift gears now, look at the geopolitical side of things. There's a really interesting story about DeepSeek, a Chinese AI startup hitting a pretty major roadblock. What happened there?
Right, so DeepSeek had to delay their new R2 model. Why? Because they apparently failed to complete a training run using Huawei's Ascend chips. They were forced to switch back to NVIDIA hardware. And that's a pretty big setback for Huawei's chips. You know,
yeah.
Their Ascend processors are now basically just being used for inference.
Which is the less demanding part, right? Running the already trained model.
Exactly. Inference is when the AI uses what it knows. Training is where it learns from massive data, and that's incredibly compute heavy. And it seems the Ascend chips just weren't up to that task for this R2 model.
So this isn't just a technical hiccup for one company, is it? It feels connected to bigger international currents.
Oh, absolutely. It connects directly. DeepSeek only turned to Huawei in the first place because of U.S. sanctions on NVIDIA's advanced H20 chips. So this whole situation really underscores the struggle companies face trying to build powerful AI software on, well, unproven domestic hardware when those international restrictions bite. It's a clear example of geopolitics directly messing with tech development and national AI goals.
Right, a real bottleneck. Now, staying on the theme of challenges and big picture concerns, AI safety. It's a growing focus. And there was a significant move from Igor Babushkin, who co-founded xAI with Elon Musk.
Yes. Igor Babushkin left xAI. He's launched Babushkin Ventures. It's a new investment firm, and it's specifically dedicated to AI safety research. His plan is to support that research, but also back startups building AI systems, especially agentic systems, the kind designed to act more independently that are meant to be secure and, you know, beneficial for people.
And he's got deep insight, right, given his role at xAI.
Exactly. He was apparently responsible for building foundational tools, leading engineering for their infrastructure, product, applied AI. So, yeah, he's seen the development process up close. His perspective is definitely valuable.
And speaking of safety, we also saw Geoffrey Hinton, often called the godfather of AI, propose a rather unique idea to stop AI from becoming an existential threat.
Indeed. A very thought-provoking one. Hinton suggested trying to train maternal instincts towards humans into AI systems as a potential way to prevent them from, you know, deciding to wipe us out.
Maternal instincts. Wow. That raises some pretty profound questions, doesn't it?
It really does. Like, what level of complex human instinct or emotion can you actually program or teach an AI? And maybe more importantly, what are the ethics of even trying to do that? It's deep territory.
Definitely something to ponder. Okay, let's shift now to something that feels less theoretical, maybe more immediately impactful, and potentially concerning. The increasing use of AI in law enforcement and intelligence. What are the sources telling us about how widespread this has become?
Well, we're seeing some really striking examples. It's moving fast. Take the LAPD, for instance. They're reportedly interested in a tool called GeoSpy. It's an AI that can apparently pinpoint where a photo was taken, sometimes down to the specific address, just by analyzing things like soil, buildings, visual clues, in seconds.
And that's available commercially.
Yeah, the report mentioned it costs something like $5,000 a year for 350 searches. But GeoSpy, that's really just one small piece of a much, much bigger picture.
Yeah.
This transformation is happening everywhere.
So it's not just local police departments, it's happening at the federal level too.
Oh, absolutely. At the highest levels, AI adoption is... Well, source calls it a fever pitch. The CIA, for example, has developed its own large language model called OSIRIS. Runs on unclassified data, helps analysts write summaries, run queries. The NSA is using AI heavily in signals intelligence. Things like speaker identification, translation for over 90 languages, finding patterns in huge data sets.
And local police forces are getting similar tools.
Yes. often through companies like Palantir. Their Gotham platform has been used for predictive policing, trying to forecast crime hotspots in cities like LA, New Orleans, Chicago.
And then there's facial recognition. The scale of that is just enormous. Clearview AI scraping billions of photos off social media, partnering with over 3,100 agencies, way more than the FBI's own database. Now, there was that Biden administration policy in March 2024 requiring impact assessments for rights impacting AI.
Right, but the sources note intelligence agencies are largely exempt from that.
Right.
And it doesn't really cover state and local police either.
And meanwhile, reports suggest a potential Trump administration would likely accelerate AI adoption even further. Palantir stock has apparently soared, partly on expectations of more government contracts, especially for things like immigration enforcement, using software to, quote, predict movements and patterns based on tax records, employment data, family info. It feels like a huge shift happening almost under the radar.
It really does. And this raises fundamental questions about our rights, doesn't it? The source material makes a critical point. If algorithms can instantly locate photos, predict future crimes, assign risk scores, what happens to the presumption of innocence? These systems are rolling out incredibly fast, often with very little public debate or, frankly, understanding of the long-term consequences.
It's moved way beyond just basic facial recognition.
Absolutely, into this comprehensive digital monitoring that, would have seemed like science fiction just a decade ago. And the concern is, democracy relies on transparent institutions, not these algorithmic black boxes making potentially life-altering decisions about who gets watched or flagged.
A really sobering perspective.
Yeah.
And connected to all this, the geopolitics, the control, there's another fascinating, almost cloak and dagger story involving the AI hardware itself, the chips.
Yeah, it sort of reads like a spy novel.
Yeah.
According to a Reuters report, federal agents have been secretly putting location trackers inside shipments of advanced AI chips. Specifically, shipments they suspect might be illegally diverted to China. They're targeting high-risk shipments, mentioning companies like Dell and Supermicro, containing those valuable NVIDIA and AMD chips.
Trackers inside the servers, how big are these things?
They can vary, some apparently as large as smartphones, hidden in the packaging, others smaller, concealed right inside the server chassis. There was one case mentioned from 2024 involving Dell servers with NVIDIA chips. They had large trackers on the shipping boxes and smaller ones hidden inside the packaging and the servers themselves.
And the smugglers, or resellers, they know this is happening.
It seems so. The report says China-based chip resellers now routinely inspect shipments, specifically looking for tracking devices. There were even court documents cited from a smuggling case where suspects were warning each other, literally saying, pay attention to see if there's a tracker on it.
Wow. And who's running these operations?
Yeah.
And is it all legally sanctioned?
Typically, it's the Commerce Department's Bureau of Industry and Security, often with help from Homeland Security or the FBI. Usually, trackers need a court order, but apparently export enforcement agents can sometimes get administrative approval instead, which is a lower bar. And the companies involved. Dell reportedly said they were not aware, NVIDIA declined comment, Supermicro wouldn't discuss security practices.
So what's the bigger picture takeaway from this cat and mouse game? Especially since other reports suggest some chip restrictions to China have actually been loosened.
Well, what's really fascinating here is that this intense tracking is happening, even as some restrictions were eased under the Trump administration, like that deal letting NVIDIA and AMD sell certain chips to China for a cut of the revenue. So this whole tracker situation, this back and forth, it just shows how determined the smugglers are. And, maybe more pointedly, how far Washington is willing to go to enforce controls that, as the source kind of hints, might be leakier than officials like to admit. It's a real tug of war.
Definitely. Okay, one last major area before we hit some quick updates. Let's look at the sheer scale of money pouring into AI infrastructure. Google just made a huge and strategically located bet.
That's right. Google is investing a massive $9 billion in Oklahoma over the next 2 years. It's for expanding their AI and cloud infrastructure. They're building a whole new data center campus in Stillwater, plus expanding their existing site in Pryor.
Mm.
And if you zoom out, this really highlights how that huge AI infrastructure spending spree, the source tracked at around $200 billion just this year, is starting to spread out, moving beyond the usual coastal tech hubs, deeper into middle America.
$9 billion is a serious number. So is this just about building more data centers, or is there something more strategic going on? And why Oklahoma?
Yeah, that's the key question. It seems more strategic than just needing space. Google is apparently bundling this infrastructure money with a separate $1 billion commitment to AI education and training for U.S. universities, nonprofits. Over 100 universities are already signed up.
Ah, so pairing the hardware with the human capital investment.
Exactly. And the timing is interesting too, right? It aligns pretty well with the recent push for onshoring, bringing tech manufacturing and infrastructure back to the U.S. We've seen similar big domestic AI investments from Micron, NVIDIA, CoreWeave lately, and Oklahoma. Well, it offers practical upsides.
Fair.
Cheaper land, probably lower energy costs, maybe fewer regulatory hurdles than, say, California.
Makes sense.
So yeah, it suggests these huge AI investments might be getting a bit more strategic, maybe less purely speculative. A potential shift from that spend big now, figure out the profits later approach we saw dominate the last couple of years.
Oh, I see. So those were the big stories from August 14th that really warranted a deeper look. But it was a busy day all around, wasn't it? There was a flurry of other AI developments too, painting that broader picture of just how fast things are moving. What else caught your eye?
Yeah, definitely a busy day. Just hitting some highlights quickly. Anthropic made an acquisition. They bought the co-founders and some team members from HumanLoop, which is an enterprise platform focused on AI evaluation and safety. So more consolidation in the safety space. Tencent released a new model, Hunyuan Vision Large. It's multimodal, understands images and text, and apparently ranked pretty high near models like GPT 4.5 on a vision benchmark leaderboard.
Okay.
Google announced some new features rolling out for Gemini, their AI assistant, things like temporary chats that disappear, and a memory feature so it can refer back to previous conversations and learn your preferences. More personalization. Mm-hmm. Ixfield AI launched something cool called Draw to Video. Lets you sketch directions or shapes on an image to guide the AI in creating a video output. It's more creative tools.
Yeah.
And finally, Liquid AI introduced LFM2-VL. These are open-weight vision language models specifically designed to run fast on regular consumer devices, not just massive servers. So pushing AI to the edge.
Wow. Just listing those out shows the incredible breadth of activity. Okay, what a day we've unpacked. We've gone from Apple's new home robots and the battle for AI talent all the way to geopolitical chip wars, AI safety ventures, the growing surveillance state, and massive infrastructure bets. It really hammers home the sheer speed and scope of AI's evolution in just 24 hours. So taking it all in, what does this mean for you listening right now?
I think one unavoidable takeaway is just the sheer undeniable velocity of AI development. It's touching everything. We've seen the complex dance between innovation and what users actually want. We've touched on the really deep ethical questions around surveillance and the huge strategic geopolitical moves shaping the underlying infrastructure. It just underscores, doesn't it, that AI isn't just another tech trend. It's looking more like a fundamental reshaper of, well, everything, society, global power, how we interact with technology daily.
Absolutely. And that leaves us with a final thought, something maybe to mull over. Considering how quickly these AI systems are being woven into the fabric of society, especially in sensitive areas like law enforcement, intelligence, where they're making judgments, assigning risk scores, predicting behavior, how can we collectively as a society make sure this incredibly powerful technology is developed and used responsibly? How do we uphold democratic values, protect individual rights, especially when so many of these systems operate as black boxes, with their inner workings often hidden from public view or even understanding? Something to think about. We hope this deep dive gave you some valuable context and connections. Thanks for joining us.